Podcasters. Welcome, podcasters. This is Jennifer, and let's get started. This is the James Bible study. We are on chapter 5, verses 13 to 18 today, and I've got a new camera up, so I don't look purple. It's my computer camera that was not a very good quality. So new camera up today, and that was giving me trouble also. I would not autofocus, so if it jolts a little bit, it's because my camera's trying to autofocus. I'm going to get this figured out and get it better. Can you hear me okay? Can you guys hear me all right? Hopefully on the Facebook you can. I'm using different technology today, so it took me a while to get started, so thank you for your patience. Plus, if you saw my post from earlier on Facebook, you saw I had insane bedhead this morning, so it took a little longer to get my hair to submit. So it has submitted now, and I am ready, and we're going to start the Bible study. So let's do this. Grab your Bibles, everybody, and let's open up to James 5, and let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the chance to be together today. Thank you for these beautiful women who join and study together and create a community around your word. Thank you for that. Thank you for the power of your word to heal our hearts, to refocus our thinking and reorient it to you and who you are. And we just come before you with humility right now today and ask that you would bless us in your kindness to understand your word. Give us the wisdom that we need to use it, apply it to our lives today to help us understand better who you are. We want to see you today, Jesus. We ask your hand of blessing in this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do this. Get some water here. And get this up and going. Hopefully, the technology will cooperate better than it has been. All right, so this is day 4 of our James study, and we are on 13 through 18. So let me go ahead and read those for you, and we'll get started. Grab your Bibles and follow along as I read. See, it's just too close. Pardon me, this technology issue here today. I was trying to set it up so I could actually see my Bible, but I can't see my Bible. Let's try it again. I'll get it back up close and comfy then. I didn't really want it that close, but oh well. And those of you listening on the podcast, sorry. none of that matters to you. You're not seeing anything anyway. But anyway, hello. I'm back. Sorry. Let's get this, let me get my cords and cables out of the way as well, so I can have more room for my Bible, my computer there. All right, we're ready. Let's do this. Read the word. Here we go. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Don't you love how James is so familiar with the men and women of faith? And he's mentioned several of them through our study here together. And yesterday, Job, and today, Elijah, before that, Abraham, right? Well, let's take a look at our questions today and dig in. Are you ready? As always, by the way, as you're listening to the podcast, or listening online, Facebook, YouTube, whatever. By the way, we might switch to the platform of YouTube. I'm thinking that'll be a better fit because a lot of people are not on Facebook. And that way they can join us live. I can live stream on YouTube. So get ready for that. We might be switching to that format next week. We'll see. All right. So page 80, we're on day 4 of the James study. What should we do in each of these circumstances? Answer according to James 5, 13 to 18, but also include what you've read in previous chapters of James or elsewhere in Scripture. I've included some references for you to consider. Suffering. So let's go back to James 5. What does he say about suffering? Is anyone among you suffering? What should he do? let him pray. Write it down. Let him pray. Are you suffering? And let's be careful how we define our terms, suffering. No offense to anybody, and I'm pointing at my own life as well as anybody else, but in America, we really don't know what suffering is. Let's be honest. So let's not be overzealous about our trials and our quote-unquote suffering when really we're just dealing with regular life circumstances. You have to keep in mind when James was writing, there was legitimate, insane suffering, persecution of Christians. So let's be careful how we define suffering. If anyone among you is suffering, though, let him pray. What does James exhort them to do? Pray. Well, let's take a look at Colossians 3, 16, and write down what we read there. In Colossians, if I get my Bible to open up here. In Colossians 3:16, we read, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Whatever you're going through, your mindset, right? Because the word of Christ is dwelt in you. This erupts out of you. And actually, just so you know, this is the Bible verse that inspired the name of basically my personal ministry, my personal life, and dwelling richly, whether it's in the songs that I write or in the Bible studies that I write. It's dwelling richly, letting the word of God dwell in us richly. So, 1 Peter, let's take a look at that one also. Where are we? There we go. Open that up. So in 1 Peter, we have 4:12-19. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or a meddler." So that's not real suffering, right? He's saying. "Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey and the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." I'll just be honest with you. When I'm selecting Bible verses for us to use in reference to the study and move around in the passages, it's really tempting for me just to give you an isolated verse, do a word search on the word suffering, and just give you that verse. But I want to be a good, responsible reader, student of the word, and I also want to role model that. So we never take words out of context. So if you're ever reading a passage and I give you something to go back and look up and you're feeling like, wow, this is a lot, it is a lot, because I don't want to pull things out of context. I want to see the whole body of scripture that is around that. So I hope that you're developing that taste and that appetite for truly getting into the word of God. So what should we do? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So this is what God's word says about suffering in these passages here. And let's write down reminders for that. Number one, that it could be according to God's will that we're suffering. Number two, don't be suffering for things that are nonsense, like criminal behavior, meddling and thievery and things like that. And then back to James, that if you are suffering, plain and simple, pray. There we go. Keep it simple, right? All right. So cheerful. Is anyone among you cheerful? What should he do? Well, let him sing praise. Right? Which it seems like the obvious thing to do, but that's what James is making the point about. Do what is appropriate for what you're going through. If you're suffering, it's unlikely you're going to be walking around, yay, I'm super duper cheerful and so happy, I'm going to sing a bunch of praises. Awesome if you can, but he's saying you spend your time in prayer. Anyone cheerful, don't walk around like you're all upset. sad. Oh, I don't want to act too cheerful. No. Be cheerful. Let him sing praise. Let it come from your heart of praise. Let's take a look at Psalm 107, 19 through 21. And if you, again, are using the live links from your Bible study, it's easy to open if you just click on those and you'll see several different translations. So let's read through those from Psalm 107. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. There's a prayer from trouble. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Being praised. So anyone among you suffering, pray. You're going to be happy after that. Sing praise. Be cheerful. Love it. All right. I just read the sick one. I read the sick one. Either way, it works. Let's go back to cheerful. Romans 12. I knew that felt like I had skipped the Romans one, but here we go. Romans 12, 15 through 16. Let's go back to that one now. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. There we go. So again, behavior that's appropriate for what we're going through. Be rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep. You're cheerful, sing praise. All right. And then 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7, we have the cheerful giver passage. Maybe you've heard this read at church during an offering meditation. I've read it in our church for our offering meditations. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. All right. When we're cheerful, let it show. That's what God loves. Cheerful giver, cheerful hearts. God loves that. God loves all of our hearts. But this in particular pleases the Lord. So do you need prayer today? Are you sick, suffering? If you do, please reach out. You are in a community of believers who will come alongside you and pray with and for and over you. Don't ignore the prompting to reach out for prayer. And you can call me, and I wrote my number in there for you in the Bible study. We want this not just to be a community around the Word of God, but we want this to be a community around the Word of God. And we want to look at one another. We want to be with one another. We're all gathered around God's Word. Let's not ignore who we have. And if you need prayer, get prayer. We want to come alongside you. We want to pray together. So you can reach out to me, email the phone number there I left for you in the Bible study, and join us. We want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. In order for prayer to have great effect, what does James say about the person who prays it? Well, let's take a look. And the prayer of faith will save one who is sick. What kind of prayer is that? A prayer of faith. Okay. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great effect. So we have a prayer of faith. We have someone who's confessed their sins and someone who's living a righteous life. And we all know the word says, no one is righteous, no, not one, until we come under the covering of Christ Jesus. And his blood is what imputes the righteousness to us. So don't wrestle with that and think, I'm not righteous, I'm not good enough. Well, you are, because you've got the blood of Jesus. Now, if you don't, if you have not given your life to God and surrendered your life to Jesus, then you have not accepted his sacrifice for you, then no. You have no righteousness worthy of coming to God with. The only prayer that God hears at that point is the prayer of, I submit to you, Father. I come to you, I accept Jesus as my Savior. All right? So in order for prayer to be great and effective, we need to be praying in faith, not double-minded, as James said at the beginning. We need to be confessing of our sins, repenting, confessing of our sins, and we need to be in righteousness. So number three, if you're not seeing great effect in your prayer life, what then could be the reason? Staring, thinking, asking, what could be the reason? Unconfessed sin. Let's find out more. Let's take a look at Psalm chapter 1. All right, refresh my water there. If you want to know what it looks like to be a righteous person, if you want to refresh your memory on this, I would say these verses here are the most succinct package of what it looks like to live a righteous life. Let's read. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You want to know what it looks like to be righteous? There you go. You're not living a life with wicked and becoming friends with the world, like James said earlier, chapter 4. You don't stand in their way. You're not with them in their path. You are walking the path of righteousness, right? How do we do that? We're in the Word. We're letting the Word check our heart, reorient our mind, constantly being humble before the Father and not being prideful and think, I've got this covered. I'm sure it's not me. We're checking our own heart, because in my own heart, it turns out, sure enough, it is me. I do have the rotten attitude. I do have the stinky heart, right? I do have the wrong thoughts in my mind, the bad behaviors, right? Okay. Number 4. Who does James use as his example of, quote, the prayer of a righteous person having great effect? Well, that's a pretty, one of those kind of giveaway questions for you. Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and did not rain. So, do you think God will work through you in the way he worked through Elijah? I really want you to think about that. If you know anything about the life of Elijah, the power of his ministry, the miracles that he worked in Jesus' name and God's name, if I'm honest, it seems incomprehensible to think that I could pray like that and it's going to shut the heavens. Now, the heavens were shut because he was in accord with God's will for how God wanted to work in that situation, right? But I don't see that God changes. I don't see that there's a different God in the Old Testament, how he worked, and there's this other God now in the New Testament. I don't see that miracles have ceased happening. I don't see that prayers have ceased becoming that effective. I see Jesus saying, you ask anything in my name and you will receive it. So I find myself convicted at this point and honestly saying, no, I feel like God isn't going to work in my life that way. And so what that ends up doing is making me think, why am I thinking that way? Is that right thinking? Does God not work that way anymore? And so what does it do? It makes me get back into the Word. And as I've been back into the Word, and I've done a lot of reading in particular lately on this topic, is no, it's my lack of faith. It's my misunderstanding of spirituality and my relationship with the Father. So I believe that in today's day, yes, God will call up Elijahs who are powerful in their prayer life, committed to asking boldly and connecting boldly with the Father. And why couldn't that be me? Why couldn't that be you? Why couldn't we be living that boldly? And so I'm praying in humility, Father, remove anything from my life that's a block from me to hear from you, for you to be able to speak to me. I want to listen. I want to do. I'm saddened by this world. I'm concerned about where we're going in America, in California, right here in my hometown. And so if I can be a part of fulfilling God's will and growing the kingdom, then I don't want anything I'm doing to have a lack of faith that keeps that from happening. Those are my thoughts on that one. All right, Martin Luther said of prayer, number 5. Martin Luther said of prayer, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. And to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. How's your prayer life today? Effective? Weak? Consistent? Sporadic? How would you like it to be? Take some time to write that down, and let's really examine our prayer life right now. What are we doing? How are we walking with the Father? When I read that quote, I'm reading it through a book right now on Martin Luther's life, and when you read about his prayer life and his commitment to praying at that level, it's pretty convicting. And I see, again, men like Elijah and Abraham and their communication life, their prayer life with God, it's convicting. It's not me. I don't have that. I don't sense that power like I want it. And then I look at the amount of time I spend outside of prayer and think, what can I do with my life? I've used this illustration before, but let's take a look at it again now. How many hours are there in a week? There's 168 hours, right? Now, biblically, God has given, back in the Old Testament, the foundational testament, God had given his people the 10% as a tithing ratio for their giving of their income, right? So taking the concept of 10%, because it's a good concrete number, easy way to do math, by the way, just 10%, in terms of giving our money, I started thinking about my time and how I was using my time for the kingdom. And so if I have been given 168 hours in a week to give to God, I need to sleep, I need to eat, I need to work, right? We know that. And my prayer life can certainly be in all of those aspects. And yet, I started thinking about this 10% concept. And so if there's 168 hours in a week, 10% of that is 16.8. Let's just round that up to 17. 17 hours in a week. Could I tithe my time? Could I give 10% of my time to God? Let's take it down to the day. There's 24 hours in a day. I need to sleep, I need to eat, I need to work. If there's 24 hours in a day, how many hours then would be 10%? Well, that's 2.4. Could I give an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening to the Father? Could I find that 0.4 in the middle of the day? What could I do to tithe my time? When I started thinking about it that way, I became more and more aware of the nonsense time that I have. All the time scrolling through videos on social media, the time scrolling through shows on TV. And I started making some shifts in my life, change in my time, how I was spending it. I believe that I'm going to be accountable to the Father. And I'm going to give an account of my life and what I did with the hours that God gave me, right? And Psalm 90, it says, teach us to number our days aright. Or rightly, teach us to number our days, to pay attention to the number of days that we have, to be mindful of that, and to lay them before and be right about how we use them. Lay them before the Father. And so that's how I considered surrendering my prayer life, my life to God, and how I fleshed that out in my own life. Maybe that'll be a helpful way for you to think about it too. So as we wrap up, consider how you can surrender this part of your life to the Father. Ask him today for a more powerful and effective prayer life. And why not do the same thing I do? Go through our Facebook list of names here and read through who's in our group and pray. Take a look at the list that's down there on our Facebook page. Just read through each one of those and say, I'm going to pray for each of those ladies who show up on our Facebook group here. I'll do the same for you. I'll pray for you today as well. All right? So that being said, it's time to wrap us up right now. You are loved and prayed for. I thank you for being with us on the Bible study. Don't forget, we might be on YouTube starting next week. We're going to take a look at that format as a way to connect and maybe increase the community of people, because not everybody, like I was saying, can be on Facebook with us. So God bless you. It's great to have you with us right now, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning. If you're going to be here for our book club, remember we're reading through Seasons of Waiting, and you can get it on your Kindle and get caught up with us tomorrow. We're going to be on chapter 6, pretty sure. Right, girls? Chapter 6? I'll have to think about that. Anyway, whatever it is. It's the one after A Home. Waiting for a Home. Someone will type in and let me know. I know, isn't the color better? Thank you. It's the camera. The camera's way better. All right, so I'm still tweaking stuff. Tomorrow we'll be on our Zoom platform. But again, I'm looking into YouTube as a way to create a platform where all of our videos can be, because I think it's going to be a good way to engage. But if we do YouTube, that means we're going to move over to Google Hangouts because they connect together. But anyway, I will let you know all of that good stuff. I'm still working it through. I'm just glad I'm not purple. All right, girls. I've got a busy day ahead of me. Lots of stuff to do. Lots of projects to check off of my list. And so you can pray for me on that. I would appreciate your prayers. And God bless you wherever you are today. Hopefully I'll hear from you if you need some specific prayers. Oh, by the way, speaking of prayer, real quick. One of the things that I started several years ago, probably, gosh, it's almost 10 years now, was using the code 711 if we need prayer. I think I started it with my two sisters. I would say, sometimes I need prayer. I don't have time to get into the details. So if I just text you 711, 7 for heaven, you know, like 911 for an emergency you would call. This is 711 to call heaven and to get the people to call into heaven for you too. So I would just say, let's text 711, and that way you know to stop what you're doing and just pray for me. And I don't have to explain. I don't have to go into any details. You just know I need to be covered in prayer. Well, that grew. My sisters, I have two sisters. And now I do that. I started doing it with a few friends. I would just tell them, hey, just text me when you need some prayer, 711. And now everywhere I go, whatever Bible study I teach, whatever women's group I'm with, I just tell them, 711. If you ever need prayer, you can just know to text me at that, and that's a great way for us to know to pray for each other, okay? So if you need prayer, you can text me, 711. If I don't have your number in my phone, make sure you tell me who you are. And 711, this is so-and-so, right? And if you want to follow it up and let me know what's going on, you're welcome to. Or if you just need to know you're being covered in prayer, I will pray for you, 711, okay? So until I see you again, you are loved, you are prayed for, and I look forward to our next get together. Bye-bye for now.